Bonjour and welcome to the Revive Podcast. I'm Kerry, Pastor of Connection and Discipleship here at Neighborhood Church. Thank you for joining us. Each week we create and curate resources to help people thrive in Christ, all available at neighborhoodchurch.com/revive. So today I'm back here joined again by Pastor Mike. Mike, good to have you back.
Hey, it is great to be back and bonjour back to you.
Yeah. We also have Sean from our Los Al campus. Sean, good to have you back as well.
Thanks. It's good to be back. I don't speak French, so I'll say hola.
Awesome. We are so multicultural here. We're jumping back into God's Word here on the Revive Podcast, and now we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47 specifically. So if you have a chance and you're not operating heavy machinery while you're listening to this podcast, please pause this podcast and go read Acts 2, verse 42 through 47, and go straight to the source yourself. Go ahead and read it, and then you can press play again on this and dive into our discussion with us. So here we go, Acts 2, 42 through 47. One of the things that we were talking about as we were talking about Acts is that, man, it's this amazing experience. All these really cool things are happening, but it's not necessarily a fairy tale fantasy where it's just all happily ever after. There are all these complex things going on. So Mike, Sean, do you guys want to kind of weigh in that first and what that community looked like?
Well, it was, I'll just start off with just making sure we all have the context of what's happening here is that Jesus has ascended. They've waited for the Holy Spirit to show up. The Holy Spirit showed up in an incredible rushing wind and flames of fire on the disciples' heads. And they were speaking languages that they didn't know, but the people who were listening knew. And incredible, amazing event. You know, God's presence was there. People got saved. And it was awesome. But not really real awesome. The awesome came later when the church began to form. And that's really what Acts 2, 42 to 47 is the formation of the local gatherings of believers. And really, as we mentioned, give us a formula on how we should be as local churches in amongst wherever we live. But it wasn't like, I love what Sean, you were saying about the kind of, you wanted the, it all to end right there.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Like at the very end of that passage of Acts, it's really beautifully written, you know, and just how it says, like, you know, they all lived together, you know, they gave of themselves and received of themselves and, you know, everybody had food enough to eat, you know, and especially in that time and place, like, wow, they had all their needs met. And it just feels like you want to read, especially in the Disney generation that I'm from, they lived happily ever after. But then we have like 24 more chapters, you know, of life to go through that's super clunky. You know, I think of the Jerusalem church having to figure out, okay, now we need, you know, sub leaders and deacons and dividing up a food and all this crazy stuff. And it's, yeah, you're right. You know, Mike, that's where the awesomeness happens. It's right. Figuring out, okay, now how do we make this work for the span of our lifetimes and even for the scope that, you know, really God has, you know, of like, this is my people here, you know, this is the body of Christ, you know, living and effectuating and living out the Great Commission throughout time now. You know, it's not just, okay, Pentecost happened. That was powerful. That was crazy. But it's like, okay, now what do we do day two, day three, right. year two, year three?
Yeah, and it isn't an easy road. It there's much joy and happiness in it, but it does include conflict. And there is, you know, as you read on in Acts, like you were saying, and there are other chapters coming up, there's a lot of conflict. I mean, this guy named Saul, who was persecuting Christians, is now saying he's had an experience. And the disciples are all going in Acts chapter 9. And after that, whoa, we don't want this Saul guy who later became Paul to jump in at all. We're not even sure. Maybe it's a ploy to come kill all the rest of us. So, I mean, there's lots of conflict and even conflict with doctrine. Are they supposed to follow all the, you know, Old Testament deals? And now they're bringing in Gentiles into the church, non-Jews. And wow, how's that whole conflict happen? And you see it all throughout scripture. And one of the greatest examples of Paul, the Apostle Paul, now trying to bring together Jew and Gentile is in the book of Romans, where that whole divide just about split that church. Well, it did split the church. And he's trying to bring unity and finding that unity in the reality of Christ, that fellowship with Christ, that's what God designed for us. I love how 1 John 1:6-7 say, if we say we have fellowship with him, that's Jesus, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And it's all surrounded in Christ. We have, and that Greek word koinonia is listed in this passage in Acts chapter 2. It means interconnected togetherness is about the best I can come up with a good definition of that. But that happens as when we have our interconnected togetherness with Christ and that relationship with him. And then that allows us to have this amazing relationship together, and this koinonia, this togetherness that's there. Wonderful, wonderful reality.
Yeah. And yeah. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I love that. You guys mentioned the clunkiness of Acts. Man, great book. If you've got like a good, easy to read translation, like go up and you look up the NIV, NLT, New Living Translation, New International Version, like just read the book of Acts. It's fascinating. It's a really cool story to see how they worked this stuff out, that under the guidance of Holy Spirit, that they were able to figure things out, but that in their human, in just how people work together, it took a lot of effort in trying to figure things out. If you'd like any background to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, like we've been talking about, definitely like read chapter 1 and 2. It's a quick read. I just read it this morning, and it gives you some great background on it too. Just like, yeah, go straight to the source. Yeah. It's awesome. Well,
and that's really where, like, you know, it says in Acts 2, 42 to 47, that they were taken with awe, because where the awesome really is found is not kind of one Pentecost experience after another. The awesome is found in this reality of togetherness or koinonia. That's where the awesome is found, is when brothers and sisters are relating to each other, and the interconnectedness that's there, and the fulfillment that happens, the iron sharpening happens, as Proverbs 27:17 says. The two are better than one, as Ecclesiastes 9:10, I believe, says. And that all happens in that amazing awesomeness of being together. And that's caring about somebody else more than even yourself, you know, and looking out for their needs as well as you're looking out for your own needs. And it's, you know, eyes turned outward in that regard.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, because at that time, and even today, like it's important for us to not, like, obviously we know this is our faith, you know, but sometimes people like try and equate, you know, this wasn't a political movement, which, you know, even back then when, you know, 2000 years ago, there was like faiths were associated with politics and things like that, you know, but that's the transcendent aspect of our faith, that it's disparate people, oftentimes with nothing in common, you know. And Mike, like you said, with Pentecost, there was tongues, you know, people literally speaking different languages, but coming together, you know, drawn by the Holy Spirit and being refined and walking in him. And it's something that it's so much more akin to a family than like it, from the Romans' point of view, from you know, that that system back then, this way, you know, Christianity was like a cult. You know, it was a sect. They were doing kind of these things, you know, kind of on their own. But it's like, this was really a family coming together, not blood related at all. And that's the interesting thing, because in the early Christian church, people were calling each other brothers and sisters who were not related. And that really confused other people, because they literally thought, wait, are you really brothers and sisters? And then they just didn't understand how this system worked. You know, and so I think it's just funny. You know, I was telling the guys earlier that, you know, like sometimes on the street the other day, I heard somebody trying to compare, I don't think they were Christian, but they were trying to compare it to like a political system. And it's like, no, we can't get wrapped up into that, because literally, you know, the God of the universe who transcends everything, he is drawing people back to him for a greater purpose of you know, not only worshiping him, glorifying him, but also fulfilling the Great Commission, you know, going out and making other disciples. Yeah, so it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's important for us to recognize that this is more than an earthly system. It's right. Transcendent of that. And it's people becoming family who are not blood related.
Right. And it's important to keep that family reality in there, because it's when people, some people, when they read this passage and they hear that they were selling their possessions and giving the proceeds to people in need, you know, people start to think, whoa, is this some kind of a cult thing?
And it's not that.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not that way at all. It's basically people caring enough about somebody else that they say, you know what, I can get rid of this item. I can go sell it, and I'm going to help this person out in that. There's all throughout Scripture, there's examples of people owning their own property and making their own decisions. And yet it's that choice to be interconnected with another person is what God calls us to, this togetherness, this a sense of belonging, because we weren't meant to really go this life alone. I mean, all throughout Scripture, there's a number of passages, we call them the one another passages. There are passages, you know, love one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens. Carrie, you sent something out a while ago. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, there's just so many one another's in Scripture. It's really cool. Like, and when we say that, there's just a whole bunch of verses, specifically through the New Testament, that say, you know, love one another, greet one another, be devoted to one another, wash one another's feet, greet one another with a holy kiss. We don't always do that today, in, like, you know, different cultural contexts,
especially in COVID times. No,
that's true. Yeah.
Just with our masks.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah, greet one another, hold a kiss through a mask, but 6 feet distant, please.
Yes.
So, you know, so some of those are culturally imbued for sure, but there's just, you know, love one another. This is transcending all cultures for sure. So if you go to neighborhoodchurch.com/revive and click on this week, you can find a chart that has all the one another's in the New Testament listed. And there's just a whole bunch of them. And there's three main categories that one another's break into. The first is unity. That's the biggest one, actually. Because one another implies that you are living together, like Sean was saying, brother, sister, in a family of God. And so unity is a really big part of that. Accept one another, be of the same mind, don't grumble, don't envy one another, be kind. The second main category of one another's is love, to love one another, serve one another, greet one another, be devoted. And then the third is humility. And that's another really big part of living together in community in Christ, is that we need to be thinking of others higher than or more than ourselves. So serve one another, be subject to another, clothe yourself with humility to one another. So there's a bunch of other one another's in there, about 12 more that have to do with other things, but all relational. And so it's just an overall call to say, hey, life together in Christ is done in community. It's done with others. It's done depending on others and having them depend on you and in relationship with them.
Yeah, and that's really what Acts 2:42 begins to set up, this local assembly called the church, and what we should be doing in there is we should be interconnected and together and look for ways. And really part of that is it takes an intentionality to be involved in that. I love Colossians, the book of Colossians. Here's a church that Paul wrote to and challenged with to them to learn about Jesus and to grow in Christ. And he instructs them on how to have this interconnected togetherness, this koinonia. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, it says this. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And he starts to begin to list a lot of these elements of what it takes to be together in this interconnected togetherness. It's to put on hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And in all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14. The word put on is the same word to clothe yourself. It's an intentional taking the initiative to actually put on these characteristics, to work at being compassionate, to work at kindness and humility. The word humility in scripture usually means to place yourself under. And so the idea is to put another's needs before your own. Listen to their story before you tell yours. Meekness is a hard word to translate sometimes, but it's one of the best words I've done. Our word pictures is meekness is power under control. Mm-hmm. And that's you're willing to set aside some of your, you know, power and pull it back so that you can help another person. And you can go through all through that. So it's incredible and amazing things can happen when we put on, when we clothe ourselves with, when we take the initiative for interconnected togetherness, koinonia.
You know, I love that, Carrie, you have that resource. And anyone listening to this, I really encourage you guys, like, and it's kind of funny to like, how do I have a cheat sheet to, you know, like live a Christian life or to think of others, you know? But honestly, I think that's, you know, huge. Like Mike, you're saying, like, it's an intentional, like when I put on, I think of like a button up t-shirt or a button up, you know, like dress shirt, like I have to think about that, you know, when it's like, okay, this arm, sometimes the sleeve is in and out, you know, and I have to figure it out. And I think with this idea of loving one another and that idea of humility, like sometimes it's a conscious effort. And especially in our culture, I know like in America, in the West, and for my family, like individuality, that's a huge value in the American system. And I don't think it's a bad value at all. However, I'm often at odds and at tension with the values of my faith, you know, juxtaposing those sometimes, you know, and I think some sort of resource like that and just like having those scriptures just seep into my heart and my soul helps me, you know, to live beyond what my natural, maybe sinful inclinations might be, or even my cultural inclinations. Again, not that individuality is a bad thing or anything like that, but when we're called to love one another, to help, to bless, you know, to live for something greater than ourselves, you know, it's helpful to have that handy. You know, we talked about on Sunday, you know, like part of this formula, you know, of like being together, belonging and everything like that is knowing God's word, being devoted to mm-hmm. God's word, because that is the commonality. That's the common thread. And something that always comes to my mind is 2 Timothy 3:16, because I think it's, you know, John 3:16, everybody knows that, you know, but then like, oh, there's another 3:16 verse. So 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training in righteousness. And then it goes on the next verse that the person of God, the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, you know, and I think that is, you know, huge that like scripture, there's this love, there's this beautiful poetry, there's this amazing ascendant language, but then it's also like, oh yeah, it's also helpful for when I see a brother or sister struggling with someone, with something, and I can help come alongside and correct. Or even for me, if like, man, I'm doing something wrong and I think I'm fine, but then someone comes to me and you're like, hey, what about this passage? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Now I got to own that. You know what I mean? It's important, you know, to have that as our common core, I guess, you know, value is the scripture.
Mm, yeah. And I would say too, like, as we think about, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, you know, it says there in Acts 2:42, like the apostles were teaching the things that Jesus had taught them. They're like, hey, we hung out with Jesus for the last 3 years or so. Heard straight from his mouth, you know, these great things, and we watched him live it out. So let's share with all that stuff with you guys. So that's what they're devoted to. So when we read the Gospels, we can be devoted to that same teaching. We are reading that same kind of content that God has preserved throughout time for us to glean from and to know what it's like, who God really is and how to follow him. So I think, you know, that's just a basic application is, read the Bible. Yeah. Totally. You know, like if you want to know who God is and how to connect to him and how life can, how you can thrive, how life really works, then read scripture. So, you know, I know that's like, it's easy just to say like, read the Bible, you know, but like, how do you do that? So we've got a couple resources at neighborhoodchurch.com/Bible. And I'm going to put a link to that in Revive as well. But if you go there, neighborhoodchurch.com/Bible, There's a links to a bunch of reading plans. There's a video series that our friends at the Bible Project have made that are super great on how to read the Bible, how to understand it. There's links to different translations there. There was a study done by this big church group a couple years ago that said, we've researched a whole bunch of Christians, and they said, personally, Christians who personally made an effort to read the Bible themselves, it was one of the biggest reasons, the biggest catalysts for them growing in the Lord. Personal Bible reading really made the difference. So yeah, crack open the Word on your phone, or, you know, a literal Bible, you know, in your home, and use these resources as ways to dive into it.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's the essence of the word devoted. That word means to be attached to, to hold fast to adhere to be faithful to persist in, and to attend to. So that's, I mean, that's, it's, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to each other, to belonging. That's the formula, God's word and each other, and that devotion to be attached, persisting in, faithful in, adhering to, holding fast to. Those are, and those are all choices, choices to be intentional, choices of initiative. And I think one of the things in here is that, you know, Sean, you were talking about individuality, and there's, you know, nothing wrong with individuality. Some are more individualistic, some are more collective. And regardless of where you are in the spectrum, that's okay. That the issue comes is when, you know, when we think that, that when we're so, when we're more devoted to self than we are to the cause of Christ and the tenets of Christ. And that's, you know, a lot of times we do that when we talk about our feelings. Sometimes we feel like because we feel a certain way, that now trumps everything. Yeah. Am I allowed to use the word trumps? Is it
canceled? You'll get flagged by
you
soon.
Yeah, I'll get flagged now. But you know, we tend to think that our feelings cancel out everything else, and that should be paramount. And you know, our feelings are, you know, the truth is as I said in scripture, the heart's desperately wicked. You know, our heart feels weird all the time. It's unpredictable, and yet God's word is truth. And Sean, you're talking about, you know, in 2 Timothy 3:16, that word of God should be, you know, paramount, and that's what we should follow. That's the facts that we should follow, not our feelings, and not let that, you know, take over. But let, you know, we need to deal with our feelings. Those, the feelings are what God's given to us. We need to talk them through, process them, and get help in dealing with that. But God's word needs to continue. And we, you know, we may not feel like being together or feel like reading God's word. We do it anyways because God says so. And I think that's important to move forward in that, and to seek and to take that initiative, like God is telling us all through scripture, to initiate that, this togetherness, this koinonia.
I mean, there's so many times I don't feel like brushing my teeth, but I know that if I go to my dentist, he's going to ask me about it. So I'm like, okay, even though I don't feel like doing this and I'm really tired and I just want to go straight to bed, like, I'm still going to do it because, one, he's going to ask me. Two, I know it's probably better for me in the long run. And like, three, I care about my teeth not falling out. So like, you know, I have to keep reminding myself there's bigger reasons than just for what I feel right now that are going to govern my actions. And so even if I don't feel like engaging with this person, or gosh, week after week, I don't feel like hosting my life group, but at the end of each life group, we all laugh because we're like, yeah, most of us didn't want to show up tonight because we're all tired. We got stuff going on. But after the group ends, we're all hanging out afterwards, chatting. We're like, oh, this was good. This was glad that it was good that we got together and dove into God's word and talked to each other. And it's like, like keeping the long term, keeping the goals in mind and pushing past the initial feelings to do what we know can be healthy for us.
So for just for my final thoughts, if if you're listening to this podcast, for our audience, thanks for joining us, and also go see your dentist. that's a takeaway application. Aquafresh is good for reproofing halitosis. No, sorry, being silly.
Can we get like sponsorships?
Yeah, I know, we're trying to
this
like
podcast brought to you by Crest.
Yeah. We're dropping it. It's left and right. But I think it's kind of like, I love the simplicity of the formula. You know, like devote yourself to the Word of God. You know. and like live to love one another. But I just encourage everybody to listening to this, like that's what life is. It's simple to say, but it's a lifetime to master. And I don't think anyone masters it truly, but, you know, it's, that's what life is. It's going through and struggling and wrestling with, you know, where are my needs, where are your needs? And yeah, I mean, if we just keep, that formula in our minds and in our context, that's what life is, you know, for, especially for believers, you know, being saturated with God's word and then living that out and then let that happen.
Yep.
And you should be good.
And that's where awesome is found.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome, this was good having you guys back on. This was a lot of fun, Mike and Sean. Thank you guys for joining us once again here on the Revive Podcast. Special shout out to Bob, our awesome audio tech who edits each of these episodes.
Thanks, Bob.
And thank you and our audience for joining us here as well, all of our listeners out there in podcast land. If you found this episode helpful, you can share it with a friend and keep reviving your soul by subscribing to our Neighborhood Church podcast on iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts, and learn all about the topics we've talked about and more at neighborhoodchurch.com/revive. Again, you can find us on Facebook or Instagram or at our Neighborhood Church of Cypress and Neighborhood Church of Los Alamitos YouTube channels. And if you have any questions, you can write me at Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, at neighborhoodchurch.com. We hope you can join us next time. Until then, we pray that God revives your soul.